ChicagoTalkChicago.com.
How's it going? My name is Edgar Ibarra, and I'm very grateful for all the knowledge I receive at the Illinois Media School.
Back out of the timeout here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and Bluetooth. It's Chris Lobosco here alongside me, Courtney Wallace, as we are at the Grant Phillips Arena for this DePaul Invitational. DePaul playing right now at the what was supposed to be a noon game, started a bit later than that. They had they win the first set by a score of 25-18 and then end up losing the second set 25-21 as Albany tied it up one set apiece, but now looking to try and take control here in the third set is DePaul. And really, if they just they had so many mistakes there in that second set, that was really the biggest difference. They had 9 errors, Courtney.
Right, and like we said during the break, Chris, if they minimize their errors, then definitely they will beat this Albany team, because we did speak of the Albany team as a pretty young team, pretty inexperienced,
right.
And with a player like Dola Nasina, who is basically leading the team, we can see her experience coming through, but just not enough players to pull them through as this DePaul team has. So not necessarily evenly balanced where that is concerned, but like you said, minimize mistakes, and DePaul should take the match.
As we will have the serve here in just a second from Colleen Smith as that one sent across and now over to the far side on a slide play, but Chandler's able to get it. And now to Reed as she sends this one as it was dug out by number 7 in Otero. That one all the way up to the ceiling almost. And now to Maxwell, who gets it right in the middle for the kill as Otero could not get there to that one. 1-0 DePaul, but it was hard fought to get that one.
And please, excuse me, Chris, I will point out that DePaul is now on the left side of the court.
Yes, they are, as this one sent up into the air by Leindecker to the near side now, and sending it off the block and getting the kill was Gabrielle Hansen. She's a defensive specialist slash outside hitter, is that sophomore. One of the shorter players on this team, too, at 5'8". And now she's the one to serve, sends the right-handed jump serve over Chanos right into the middle as King sent that one across. Diving play made by Holmes. Now over to the near side, Maxwell, and she gets it on the back line again, and Maxwell starting to come alive here in set number 3, 2-1 DePaul.
And starting the set for DePaul, we had King on and Reed on court at once, and when those two are on court, this team is very dangerous, Chris.
Definitely the case as the serve sent over by Boyser as it comes back in towards the middle, and Chanos kind of got caught a little bit off guard. She was going where the ball was originally going, and then it ricocheted off of one of her players out in front, changed direction, give the point to the Great Danes as they tie it up at 2.
And they are growing in confidence.
As King hits this one up into the air, now Maxwell's, that one goes out, point to Paul. She told that one off the block.
Indeed, but you know, we see where this Albany team is now taking more chances during the game, and you know, trying to mix it up, trying to do more stuff. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Chanos with the right-handed serve across, this one right into the middle, and we have a whistle here. Did they call that on DePaul? I believe. Thought maybe they were going to call under the net by Albany, but no, they called something on DePaul. So point Albany, tied up at 3.
And now we have Cameron Kelly to serve.
Yep, Kelly will send this one over. And not able to get to that one was number 12 in Boyser on that kill attempt. That'll give the Great Danes a 4-3 lead.
And not for the first time we see Kelly on serve, and Albany winning the point.
So Cameron Kelly, right-handed serve across, bumped up into the air. That one went a little bit too far. And I believe over the net went Colleen Smith. So point to Albany again, 5-3, another air.
And you know, Kelly with those short serves, I mean, they're barely making it over the net.
But they're working.
Very much so.
Not this time, though, as it comes to the near side. Maxwell sends that one down emphatically, but Hansen dug it out. Over to the far side, that one got towards the net, but right there to send it away would have been Jameson McPhee, but did not get onto the side of DePaul, so it ends up being point 4 DePaul.
And an error there, a costly error there from Albany.
Brittany Maxwell sends that one across. Point again to Paul on the ace, 5-5.
And Landecker there with a very rare mistake, not being able to get the dig there from off Maxwell.
So Maxwell, once again, the lefty sends it across. Bumped into the air by Hansen to the near side. Leindecker high up into the air by number 12 in Boiser. Comes to the far side, sending it cross court was McPhee as it gets back in towards the middle and bumped across, but a little bit too hard sent it was Hansen, as that'll give the point to DePaul and tie, or give them a lead, 6-5.
And we saw that dig there, Chris, almost making it through the basketball hoops. I think we got our games crossed there a little bit.
Yep, a little bit, but it did not quite get there as Maxwell sends the serve over again. This one goes off a double block and now out in front to Colleen Smith as she gives it over to the far side for Jameson McPhee, who's been in this game. She's been one of the changes here in this third set. We didn't see her at all. We saw a lot of Claudia Anderson.
So you see now, Chris, what DePaul is going for now, the bench players coming in and making their mark. Do not change the momentum of the game when you come into the game.
As that one off a double block kept alive by Albany. Colleen Smith bumping it to Chanos. Now to the far side, McPhee off a double block held in by Cameron. Back to the far side, sending it cross court was Lamb. Setting McPhee up again as she goes cross court, not able to dig it out this time. Was Otero. She tried to get there on the dive, just a little bit short.
And a very rare miss there on the dig by Otero. She's definitely one of the best diggers on court of either team, but that one was just too good for her.
Over to the middle, sending it over was Leindecker. Colleen Smith tried to go, and it looked like it might have went out, and it did. Is the call, wait. Well, the call on one side looked like it was signaled out, but the R1 signals that maybe it was a double hit, maybe?
Yep, and we see, I think that was Coffey there, looking at the referee like, please, can we have that one?
So it will be point for the Great Danes as they make it 8-6. Sent across, comes now over to the near side as Coffey will get it back anyway. She said, fine, I'm not going to give it to me, I'll take it.
Excellent work there by Coffey. Very fluid on the jump and also very fluent on the kill.
Jameson McPhee to serve here. Sends the right-handed serve over towards the far corner, and it comes right to Reed off of the serve, and she just sends it down after that bump. That bump went way too far in the pass, and that's easy pickings for Reed.
And McPhee has been influential so far in this set, Chris. She has really made a difference in this team.
Yeah, as she sends the serve a little bit too far, we sing her praises.
Commentator's curse.
Yep, of course. But she has done really well up until this point. There's no doubt about that.
Indeed, you cannot take that from her. But then what can we say about Reed? Sure hands, very powerful, very precise.
She's from Guangzhou, China, too, for McPhee. As this one bumped up in front and then quickly sent across by Coffey. Goes back to the far side. Smith bumping it back into the air. Chanos now to the far side towards Reed. Reed over a double block. Nice dig by Otero. Comes to the front line and then the misplay at the net. Sends the point and gives it to the Blue Demons. As that was a great dig. It just went a little bit too close to
the net.
And
it came from one of the best spikers on the on the court.
Right, Reed. Chanos subbed out. Coffey to serve. Chanos came out. I believe it was number 11.
King came in.
Yeah.
She's now in tandem with Reed on the front line.
Got a piece of it, did King. Comes towards our table here from the commentator's booth. Is hitting that off the block was McPhee. Far side Reed hits it off the double block and it goes out. Got through the hands in between the two players.
Now when Reed goes up and she beats Dolan, then you know how dangerous she is. I mean, these are two very good players and I just love to see them come together.
Definitely, 12-7. The lead for DePaul right now in set number 3, trying to get a stranglehold on this match. Colleen Smith in the middle for King, and she gets the nice play to the near corner.
And like I say, King and Reed on court, dangerous combination.
And seeing the lead grow to 6, Albany takes a timeout. 13-7 here as we are near this middle of this set number 3. tied at one set apiece, of course, after Albany was able to win the second set to have this one tied up. But looking here at set number three, Courtney, some mistakes by DePaul, of course, you're always going to make a couple, but they've limited them compared to set number two.
And, you know, that's what it's about, Chris, limiting your mistakes and, you know, making use of your opportunities, and they've done that well. I mean, McPhee has come in and she's had two kills, two very, very good kills. And of course, you know, what can we say about Reed? She does not miss.
She doesn't, and King doesn't either when she gets her opportunity. Yeah.
Well, Reed only fails to execute the kill when she sends it straight to Otero.
Right. And also, you look at Jameson McPhee, who came in, the junior, and she made a bit of an impact as well. When she was on the front line, she got herself a couple of kills as two already, and she's made some plays defensively, getting a couple of digs.
And also a couple of serves.
Yes, and some good serves. She did have the one service error, but until that one, she was serving really well.
She was solid.
So now Coffey to serve again, and when Coffey is on the serve, this is one of the times that they go on the run, but that, in part to your point, is who's on the front line when Coffey serving King and Reed, and unfortunately Coffey right there sends the serve into the net, so Lexi Chanos will come back into the game.
Yep, and you know, like you said, it's about the mistakes, Chris, definitely good combinations on court, but the mistakes will definitely kill all opportunities.
Holmes sends her serve over as McPhee sends it to the front line and now over to the far side. That went off a double block and not able to control it was DePaul on Reed's attempt.
And Dolan versus Reed again, and Dolan comes out trumps this time.
Very fun matchup to watch. There's no doubt about that. Nina Holmes now to serve again. Her team trails 13-9, and Chanos with a nice decision to let that one go, as that goes as a service error and brings up Colleen Smith.
Excellent, excellent awareness there from Chanos, knowing the court and knowing where she is on court, and excellent decision to just leave that one alone.
5-point lead for DePaul. Sending it over was Colleen Smith. That might have gone out if she was able to get out of the way for linebacker, but her team plays it and bumping it to an area that was free was Chloe Irving.
And Irving, we expect a lot from her. We've expected a lot from her. She has not definitely... she has not come through as often as we would like, but that time, that was a brilliant play.
But a very young player, too, and very promising. There's no doubt about that. 14-10, she's a freshman, is Chloe Irving. Smith setting it to the near side for Maxwell, sends it off a block. King made the play, and it comes over here as, unfortunately, she was not able to control that one.
Another rare mistake there from King. But definitely the momentum of the game on that particular point had DePaul's players out of position, and that's what forced that error.
Hansen sends her serve across up into the air now, and King sends it right into a double block. And here come the Great Danes closing the gap to 14-12.
And King was up against Dolan there, and Dolan just reminded her that, hey, I'm on court, I'm on the front line.
Have to look at how many blocks Dolan will have after this third set. As Colleen Smith sending it to the near side, Reed sends a laser beam over, but it's controlled by Albany, but they send it right into a double block. Reed bumping it into the air, trying to send it forward, and then just tapping it back across was Maxwell. Back into the middle, Dolan. Chanos with the dig. Smith towards the 10-foot line and sending it back across is McPhee. To the near side for Linedecker. Chanos with another dig here on this rally. Back towards the far corner, but Maxwell could not get it off of anyone, as that will be point for Albany, and it's back to within one, 14-13.
You know, Chris, pressure bursts pipe, and the pressure there was definitely on DePaul. I mean, Dolan has been excellent on the defensive line for Albany, and that time she gave them something, DePaul something they've rarely seen in this match so far.
Reed able to get it through the defense there. Holmes with the dig, however, now right into the middle, and King got too much on top of the ball there, the timing a little bit off, and we're tied at 14 in set three. And we're tied at one set apiece.
And it's the big M word again, mistakes. We've rarely seen mistakes from King, or we've seen three consecutively.
Hansen sending the serve over, and then there's a service ace. Chanos, a little bit of a misplay and a timeout by DePaul as their lead is gone, 15-14.
And one would have to say that was not the most difficult of serves to handle there from Chanos, but you know, like you said, when the momentum is on your side, things just tend to go your way, and that's the case here for Albany.
It's definitely the case. They have the lead back here in set number three. They started off with the first point in set number three. That was set number two where they had the first point, but they were close in the beginning, had a lead at one point. Now they finally have a lead again as we're at this midpoint of the set.
And might I say, sir, that they're playing on the right side of the court.
Right. Of course, DePaul's still in this one, though, as it's still early on in this set. Enough time for them to come back.
Indeed. Indeed. With 1 point down, and you having won the first set, and still not playing too badly, but like we said, that big emerald there, Chris, minimizing mistakes will be the objective now of DePaul for them to stay in this one. Albany, they have their tails wagging, the Great Danes, and they're definitely looking to add some bite to their bark.
Yeah, McPhee came in for Claire Anderson, and part of the reason why you probably saw that change happen, Claire Anderson in set number one only had one air, was hitting at 125, which isn't too bad for her attempts, but then in set number two, she had five errors. So that's probably why you've seen that switch to McPhee, which not a bad switch either, because McPhee's a good player as well. As King there gets the timing right and gets the point back and ties it back up.
You know, you never can rule out a good player. And when she makes a kill on the likes of Otero, then you know that she's definitely back on her A game.
Haley Boyser to serve, sends it over with the right hand, hits it off the tape and able to get underneath. It was Hansen, comes to the near side as Leindecker sent that one in. Chanos had to dive with the right hand, and that ends up being a point for the Great Danes. What looked like it was going to be something good for DePaul ends up turning into something great for the Great Danes, well, as they have a lead.
That was a story early on in this match. Once DePaul made a good play, then that was point for them, but no longer so.
Chanos bumping it to the front line. Colleen Smith over to the near side. Maxwell off a double block and not able to get underneath. It was Dolan. Tied at 16 again. We trade points.
And DePaul definitely staying in this one and not allowing Albany to just run away with it by any stretch of the imagination.
Chanos sends it over to the far side off the double block and back up into the air. Now to the far side, McPhee sends it across. Diving play made by Holmes. Comes to the near side, Leindecker. Chanos with a nice dig. Gets over to McPhee, who sends it over, and it's dug out by Holmes to the near side. And we have a whistle here. Double hit on Albany. They make the mistake and give the lead back to DePaul, 17-16.
And that was a shame, Chris, because it was turning out to be a very good rally, as both teams were given as good as they got.
Fun rally, but ends on a mistake. Leindecker now sends it over a double block. Smith back over to the near side. Maxwell has that one dug out by Otero. Back into the middle, and that one down as she got it just in front of the players. There was Cameron. And the ball finds its way to Courtney Wallace.
Again.
Ball likes you, apparently.
I see there this one. They tried to get me involved in this one.
Very tough one, though, there for DePaul. It was another fairly long rally, and we're tied at 17. And then the service error by Cameron to give the point back.
Which is not very usual for Cameron. She's usually not very bad on serve. But that time, however, she was way short, sending that one into the net.
So now serving on the near side will be Maxwell. As sending it over with the left hand and getting it off the tape was Maxwell.
And if this was tennis, you would go to your opponent and apologize to them. But not so in volleyball. Right. We'll take it.
Maxwell sends it back across as Leindecker puts it up into the air to the near side with the right hand. Got a piece of it only. Was Leindecker mishit that, but it worked out in her favor.
Yeah, she was definitely out of position for the kill there, and she had no choice but just to touch it or get it over the tape, and that she did. And it basically threw off the defenders for DePaul. Point Albany.
19-18, though. DePaul still has a one-point lead. Maxwell makes her way out here as Leindecker will send the serve over. Chanos now to the near side. Over to Colleen Smith, and then trying to get the kill with Coffee, missed it wide.
And she was trying to send that one across court, but had a little bit too much on it. Point Albany.
Leindecker serve, sent across, bumped up into the air by Boyser. Back to the far side, and that one just out from Anderson, who subbed back into the game. She just missed that near sideline.
And Coach Edwards looking a bit concerned now. Things just not going the way of her team at the moment.
20-19, the lead right now for Albany. Anderson off the double block, and that one, I think, stayed in. It was tough to tell from our side if it had or not, and now it's 21-19, the lead for the Great Danes, and another timeout, DePaul.
And the timeout strategy now is over to Coach Edwards of DePaul. She's the one who's now forced to be calling the timeout because this Albany team, they are minimizing their mistakes, while her team, DePaul, have not been able to do so in this third set. And it's definitely a point for concern at the moment.
Two times Claire Anderson had an opportunity there to make a play, and she unfortunately didn't. And that's really where the issue is right now. I wonder if we'll see a substitution again for Claire Anderson, who had just come back in. We hadn't seen her at all in this third set until this last moment, and then there's the two-point swing.
Indeed, and you know, like we said, a little bit of concern, a little bit of worry for Coach Edwards. It has nothing to do with skill set. It just happens to do with momentum.
Right.
Players keeping their head in the game and concentrating for long periods.
And we saw for Claire Anderson, she played really well in the first set. Just been having a couple, two difficult sets here in set number two and set number three. So maybe, you know, let her stay out there, try and settle her down
right.
with the timeout. And just say, hey, we know what you can do. Show us.
Right. And the combination of King and Reed not necessarily working out in this set also.
Right, and they haven't gotten to that part of the rotation yet either to even bring them in.
Right.
So you have to try and get through back to them. Linedecker on the serve. Bumped up to the air. Smith now to the far side for Anderson. Dug out, comes right to the net, and Coffey with the joust. And she gets it there. And then I think two players collided with each other. Anderson looks like she's all right. Might have gotten eye poked or something, and when she seems to be okay is a good thing. DePaul backed within one. Claire Anderson here, and the R1 signals hold on.
And we'll
see if the R2 is checking something, and now we're good. So now Claire Anderson gets the okay to go. Sends that serve over right towards the libero and Otero, and then that one looks like it went out. Point to Paul. We're tied at 21.
Game on. Definitely game on.
Anderson to serve again. Sends this one, and that one goes too far for Anderson. She had two good serves in a row and just missed that one.
And Otero there with a good presence, good awareness, knowing where she was on court. And realizing that all she had to do was swivel her body out of the way, and that would be a point for her team. And now she's on serve.
Yep, the libero Otero. Right-handed jump serve, sends it towards Chano. Smith sending it up into the air, goes to Reed, who gets it through a double block. Comes back over to the near side. Is that one not able to send it through? Is Irving.
And Irving there with another rare miss by her standards in this game so far. And it keeps DePaul right into it.
Tied at 22, we are 3 points to find the winner. That's, of course, if we get a team to win by two.
And we have two on the court in King and Reed.
And this is probably where DePaul wants to be at this point in their rotation, as King and Reed combined for a block there. Keeping it alive was Otero, and then not able to get to it from behind was Coffey. Give the lead now to the Great Danes, 23-22.
And we said it earlier, Chris, when both those players are on the court, usually when they combine for a good play, it results in a point for DePaul. Not so these past couple of points.
Nina Holmes in here. That one up into the air by Anderson. Colleen Smith back to Anderson, who just sends it over towards the far corner. Otero up into the air to the near side. Irving, good job by Anderson to dig it out after the block. Far side, Reed hits it off the double block and ties it back at 23.
So definitely Reed is one of the players who is not making as many mistakes. She's getting the kills in, and we think DePaul will need her on the court to close this one out.
Colleen Smith sends this one over on her serve to the near side. Irving tried to go off the double block lightly, goes across it. Smith sent it up into the air to the near side. Maxwell cross court, dug out by Holmes. Into the middle here, 10-foot line. Linedecker comes back to Smith on the near side to Maxwell. The lefty gets the kill there, is not able to get under it. It was Otero, 24-23, and it's set point for DePaul.
And Otero there was definitely out of position for that dig there. And an outstretched right hand, would definitely not have gotten enough on that ball to dig it up for our teammate to be able to get it over the net. And like you said, DePaul, 1 point within the set.
And timeout Albany, by the way. So 1 point away, like we said, for DePaul. I mean, you have to give them great resilience by DePaul. And we see really when they get back to that front line, that when you have the three players in the front, and I think it's when they're best, is you have Colleen Smith serving, or at least in that spot in the back line, and your front three are Maxwell King and Reed.
Yep, that definitely has been the combination on court for DePaul here. Albeit, Chris, they have made some mistakes that we did not see in the first set,
right,
and that has kept Albany in the game. However, you never can rule out good players. Because,
definitely,
you know, at any point in time, they will come through. That has proved to be the case in the latter stages of this set here for DePaul.
Pivotal serve here for Colleen Smith. So your six out there along with her. We already said Maxwell, Reed, and King in the front. Chanos and Anderson in the back with Colleen Smith as she sends her serve over. Bumping it up into the air was Linedecker. Comes to the near side. Irving and nobody able to get there. We're going to have some extra volleyball here, 24-24.
And it is definitely real exciting here and getting even more so because this Albany team, they are just not going away.
Gabrielle Hansen to serve from the far side. Sends it over with the right hand, bumped in the air by Anderson. Up high and sending it over was Reed, but she sent it too far. Now the opportunity to take the set for Albany, 25-24.
A rare mistake there by Reed. And Chris, we're now at a point. It's who blinks first.
So now the serve again from Hansen. Sends it low, bumped up into the air. Smith right into the middle. King able to dig it out, though, is Otero. Now to the near side. Smith back into the air. Chanos to the near side. Reed cross court. Diving play made. And that one right into the middle, kept up into the air. Sent across and now back to Chanos. Smith to the far side, Maxwell, and she has the touch and ties it back at 25. What a play by Maxwell. Brittany Maxwell with a great one.
Well, if we never figured it before, now we know, game on. Neither of these teams are going away.
And you can see why Brittany Maxwell at the top of that list as far as kills for DePaul. Up in front here to the far side, off a double block, and King cannot control it. And now that'll make it a lead again for the Danes, 26-25. The Great Danes trying to win set number three and take a 2-set-to-1 lead.
And the Danes, their tails are wagging. It's in the air.
Dolan on the back line sends the serve. Chanos up into the air to the near side. Maxwell's, that one goes off a double block, comes back to her, and she gets the point. Two great plays in a row by Maxwell. Was that with her right hand?
With her right hand.
She's a lefty.
Yep, with her right hand. But then again, who was on serve? Dolan. And like we said, when she's on serve, usually things don't go the way of Albany.
Chanos sends the serve across over to the near side as that one gets in. Lead to DePaul off the double block on the attempt from Linedecker.
Number 13, number 14, Caitlin Coffey, Brittany Maxwell. Excellent defense.
And now, Chanos with the serve, trying to win this set. Number three is DePaul. They have the 27-26 lead. Off a double block, comes right into the middle there for Anderson. Still alive, bumped forward, sending it across now is Holmes. Chanos into the air, setting it up. It's Colleen Smith for Brittany Maxwell, and she takes set number three for DePaul, 28-26.
Excellent, excellent hit off the left hand there for Maxwell, and wow. What a kill. What a kill. And
great
what a way to take
kill.
The set.
When you look at it for Maxwell here as we end set number three, 28-26, she has on the board right now. I want to look and see how many kills she has. She has 9 as of right now.
And they've been out some very good kills.
Yes.
I mean, that left hand of hers is fire.
It's very lethal.
It
There's
is.
No doubt it.
It is.
And it's such a thing to have on a team when you have a great lefty.
And I'm sure that coming from a left-hander himself is a...
I'm not even...
look for left-handers, right?
Well, right, of course. I always look for my own, but not just because of that, but because there's so few lefties. When you have a great lefty, and it's something that teams don't see as often, makes it a little bit more difficult on a defense deal with.
You're so right, because like you said, there are so few lefties and so many right-handed players. It's almost like in boxing, when you have a southpaw
right.
and a right-hander goes up against a southpaw, it makes it that much more difficult for him, because right-handed people tend to think right-handed. Left-handed people tend to think a bit, quote-unquote, unorthodox, for want of a better word.
Right.
But it creates problems, like you said, for, you know, opponents.
Exactly, and that's definitely something that, and Maxwell's just a great player, too. If she was right-handed, it wouldn't make a difference, but she is definitely a player. There's no doubt about that. And I don't think Colleen Smith gets talked about enough for what she does for her team, because when we get the stats for set number three, you're going to see her far and above leading as far as assists go, and assisting on pretty much almost everything.
Yep, she's pretty much like the tape on this team that holds the team together.
Right.
You know, she's that glue, a good all-round player, good athleticism, but also setting up for players like Maxwell's, the Kings, and the Reeds, who are definitely great athletes. And
smart.
Yeah. Once you have that,
incredibly smart.
Once you have that combination on court, DePaul, dangerous team.
And you look at it there, the hitting for DePaul goes down again, but they're above the team in Albany. And looking at just the stats, make sure I look at the right one here, because we have the one that's the totals and the one that's not. So totals in the game so far, leading the way in kills is Brittany Maxwell with 15.
And she had 8 in that set. Most by any player on court.
Very impressive in that set. Their hit percentage, 22.3 for DePaul as well. That's pretty good as well. They did have 10 errors in that third set, but they didn't let those mistakes hurt them.
All right, and Brittany Maxwell with 8 kills. Amanda Doland for Albany has 4. So she was definitely the leading player in terms of on the front line for either team.
She's also leading the way in blocks as well for Albany.
So having a good all-round game.
And the one thing that I notice here when you take a look, Albany leading in far as the team block category, 9-4.
And that's a credit to Dolan, because she has definitely been the tower of strength
for
the team.
She's combined on a lot of those blocks. And now we'll have set number 4 here in just a moment. DePaul, of course, now back onto the right side of the court, left side for Albany. Trying to take it here, 3-1 is DePaul. They've had 2 hard-fought middle sets. These ending sets, we'll see how they end up going for the Blue Demons.
And indeed, they would want to get the early momentum, get the early swing, pendulum swing, to put some daylight between themselves and the Great Danes.
So sent a cross as it comes up to the far side, and they started off the right way with a kill from Maxwell. She just continues.
And again, the kill there was definitely right to the chest of Otero, who could do nothing about it. It pretty much tells how good that Maxwell has been in this game so far.
Over to the far side, answering right back is Linedecker, the outside hitter senior from New Philadelphia, Ohio.
So the trade of kills there by both teams makes this one interesting. Something to look forward to.
Definitely very interesting, no doubt about it. This one sent up into the air and not able to dive underneath was Anderson. She came close, just missed it.
And a rare. That one was off a serve by Dolan. And very rare does she create problem with her serves, but she did there on that occasion.
set up to the front line here, and right into the middle for Coffey as she gets it and ties it back at two.
And guess who couldn't get the dig? Dolan.
Dolan, and she goes out to sub there too after that. Looking quickly at digs for both teams, 18 for Nicole Otero for Albany. And I'll tell you, Alexi Chanos, what she leads the team with for DePaul in just a moment. Diving play made there on a dig that keeps the ball alive. Back into the air to the near side. Anderson hammers it off the block. Kept alive by Otero. Back to the far side. Linebacker not able to get to it is Chanos as she tried to dive over. And Lexi Chanos with 11 digs. And sorry, the leader is Colleen Smith with 14.
And you know, Chris, if you really like volleyball, it's hard not to like these two teams and what they're doing here this afternoon. They are really, really putting their all into this and making it an interesting affair.
Sent across by McCauley up into the air and sending it over a block was Anderson. Back up by Otero to the near side, sending it over was number five in Lamb. Comes back to the near side for Anderson. Her hit doesn't get through the block as that one goes off a double block there from Leindecker.
And both teams combining good skill with good intelligent play, good head game on display here this afternoon at McGrath-Phillips Arena.
4-2 lead for Albany. Sent across over towards the far sideline. Kept alive by DePaul and right into the middle for the quick play to Coffey. They get it back within 1-4-3. Substitution as coming back into the game is number 5 in Maya Reed. And now to serve will be Anderson. Claire Anderson sends it over with the right hand. Up into the air, now over to the far side. Linebacker, she's just going to set that one across. Nice play made by Chanos, though, to get there and dive, and then her team will get the point.
You know, one of the worst things that can happen to you as a volleyball player, Chris, is when you come up with those smart, intelligent plays, when you see the openings and your team just comes right back. It throws you off your game.
Definitely does, and, you know, in part because of a great play, because Alexi Chanos to the middle near the 10-foot line, sending it over was Linebacker. Back to the near side, it's Reed, and that one got in on that far sideline, or in the back sideline, 5-4, the lead back to DePaul.
And McCauley saw that one coming from Reed. It was bombs away, and she ducked. Can you blame her?
Cannot. Sent in towards the middle of the court, now over to the far side, sending it over was Robinson, comes back to the near side now, over the double block. And down it goes, out of play, so that'll be point four. Albany, 5-5.
And Reed there with another mistake on the kill. Like we said, we rarely see those.
Sending it over was Linebacker, and then a misplay there by Maddie Torti.
Nice short serve to the front court there from Linebacker. And of course, the DePaul players were all back expecting a deep serve and getting caught out that time.
Linebacker's right-handed serve goes across. Anderson bumps it up into the air. Over to the near side, Reed sends it over the double block. Kept alive, back to the far side for Irving. Irving off the double block and gets the point.
And that's what we expect to see from Irving. We expect to see her making those kills, and at that time she did it with good effect.
7-5 the lead for the Great Danes now here early on in set number 4, and then give one of those points back, make it 7-6.
Leindecker there trying to go for another one of those front court services and sent it into the net.
A little bit too much finesse, and now it'll be Coffey serving. Sends it towards the middle where it's bumped into the air by Otero. Now to Irving, and ooh, she just mistimed that one.
Yep, Irving there, not getting the fluidity in her game here, Chris. I mean, we've seen some very good plays from her, but sometimes she just comes up short. Like you said, she might be just short on experience.
Tied at 7 now. Sending it over towards the far side was Coffey, up into the air by Lamb, and then sent over by Linebacker. Back into the middle, over a double block, sent it by Anderson, and we got a double hit, I believe. Yep.
And Irving there, another mistake, back-to-back mistakes, and it has cost her team 2 consecutive points.
That was kind of a weird one, though, too. It wasn't really, I mean, just the way the ball bounced.
True, true.
Coffey sending it over towards Irving, but Otero cuts in front of her to play it, and then Irving goes for the kill. Anderson hits that one high in the air. To the near side, sends it by Coffey, as Reed sent that one back down. Back to Irving now, and that one just got in on the far sideline. Tie it up at 8.
And there we go, Irving definitely not having a good run, but we see Dolan checking in and just saying to her, keep your chin up.
Otero to serve. From the far side, sends it right into the net, trying to be a little bit too much finesse on that one. 9-8, DePaul with the lead again. Service errors helping DePaul keep their lead.
And you know, it's a hallmark of a good game and two good teams, Chris, when you can force your opponents into making mistakes.
Colleen Smith with her serve, nice serve over, and now quickly dumping it over, and that one just missed on her attempt. Was Amanda Dolan smart? Thing that she tried, she just missed.
You know, Chris, I've been watching Dolan, and even when she makes mistakes, she still smiles. I think she smiles more when she makes the mistakes.
As Dolan has to hit that one over, gets it right back, and now goes to the far side. Maxwell spins that one off the block, and it gets down in bounds.
And again, Dolan there. The block not working as good as she would have liked for it to on that time. Just took a spin to the right, conceded the point.
11-8, the lead for DePaul. Colleen Smith sends her serve over towards Leindecker, over to the near side by Lamb as she sent that one over. This one right at the front of the net. Smith bumping it up. Now Chano sending it to the near side, over for Reed, and she gets the kill.
And that is a vintage Reed. It's exactly what we expect from her. And a 4-point lead, Chris. Now the onus now is on DePaul to maintain this momentum, maintain this lead, take the set.
They have for the 4-point lead, like you said, Courtney, 12-8 here in set number 4. They have a 2-1 set lead to the Blue Demons after fighting hard to win set 3. Set 2, of course, was a close one as well.
But it has been, except in maybe for the first set, it has been a close match and a very entertaining one. And I think we're going to go all the way down to the wire. So if you had plans for an early afternoon, Chris, I think you need to change.
Well, we're going to be back here anyways for the 7 o'clock game when the Blue Demons will play the University of Illinois Chicago.
And that note... As things are shaping up right here now, that's going to be a tough one for them because Albany, I think, have surprised them some with the way they're playing in this particular game. I don't think they expected this much of a fight from this Albany team.
Do you think maybe that'll wake them up for the UIC game?
It will either wake them up or totally stretch them out.
The good thing is they do have a long break in between. I think if they go to 5 sets, then you really start to worry about stretching yourselves out. But I think if you can win here in the 4th set, only giving up 1, you'll be happy with it.
Indeed. Indeed.
Colleen Smith sends her serve over to the right side. Bumped up into the air now for Irving as she goes over the block, and that one goes out of play. She thought the block was going to be there to try and set it off it, but it was not. Now it's 13-8 DePaul. Smith again serving with the right hand towards Irving. Bumps it all the way across, and that's cannon fodder right there for King in the middle.
And Irving, Chris, back-to-back mistakes, really hurting the team at this moment.
14-8, the lead now. Smith sends it back over towards the far corner, back to the near side now for Lamb. Dig by Colleen Smith. Chanos now to the far side, and that one gets in on the far corner. 15-8 now the lead for DePaul.
And definitely momentum swing for DePaul, and they know, I think they can now sense blood. They're going for it.
15-8, Smith serve towards the far corner, into the air by Leindecker, back in the middle, and Dolan with the kill, and she gets a point back for her team, 15-9. And you know what's the thing here too, Courtney, that I think is one of the most impressive things? When Dolan's been in the front, that's when there's been the most difficulty for DePaul.
Indeed.
They've been handling her pretty well.
Indeed, indeed.
Holmes sends her serve over. Chanos bumping it to the front now. There's the quick attempt by King. Dug out by Otero. Sending it back across was Leindecker. Back into the middle. Smith to the near side for Maxwell. And Maxwell gets the kill, 16-9.
And I think by now, Otero knows that when Maxwell kills, you know, it's going to be a hard day's night.
When you look at the player for DePaul and Brittany Maxwell, we'll tell you about her in just a second. As there, the quick dump attempt, but a nice diving play made by Colleen Smith. Over to the far side, Maxwell hits it off the block, goes to King. Back over to Maxwell now, hits it on the block, and this time she gets it down on Albany's side. Yep. 17-9. Timeout again by Albany. And as I was about to tell you about Brittany Maxwell, very promising player. She's 6'3", and she's a sophomore, and she's from Macomb, Michigan, and she's a player.
She is, definitely. Definitely very athletic, nice height, and, you know, long arms. So she goes up, and she has a good power coming out of that left arm. And as we also saw early in the set, she has a good right hand also.
Yes, a very good right hand when she needs to use it. Obviously, her main hand is her left, but if she has to use the right, maybe because the ball's on that side of her body, to just to get the ball over, she can do it no problem.
She makes it work. It's very good backup.
And that's always something important for a volleyball player to have. And I want to go back to Colleen Smith really quickly, though. That dump, she read it so well, dives, makes the play, keeps the point alive, and then there's another dig by her. I mean, it's like having a second libero out there with having Colleen Smith on the floor.
Indeed, and when you speak of this DePaul team, there are so many good players on the team.
Right.
That although the momentum might shift and they might be making errors, but it's a team you can never and you cannot rule out, because anybody's going to come through anytime.
Right, and then Lexi Chanos, even though she's the defensive specialist, she's been setting up her teammates so well.
So well, and they've been making good use of the sets.
Boyser to serve here for DePaul as they have the 17-9 lead. Try to keep the lead growing and take set number four. Tends it towards the far corner. Linedecker made the play there, quickly sent across and back up into the air. Over for the near side for Anderson. Back up into the air by Otero, and having to use her right hand to send that one, but it was too far. The set was a little bit off to Chloe Irving, and she just sent it long.
And I'm sorry to say it, but another mistake by Irving is taking away the momentum from her team.
Yeah, she couldn't rake. She wasn't quite ready for that pass to be off the way it was. So compounding mistakes is never a good thing to do. And there's one, maybe, unless they can keep this one alive, and they do, as it's sent back across by McCauley. Over to the far side, there's a kill attempt down from Maxwell, kept alive. Irving now, Chanos with the good dig. Bumped forward to the near side, Anderson, off a block again. Into the middle here, setting up Anderson again, and she gets the kill. 19-9.
A very good rally that resulted in a very good kill for DePaul, and that definitely put a smile on Coach Edwards' face.
It was one of those where it kind of felt like it was a matter of time before they got the point. Over to the far side now, off the double block, sent it by Irving, 20-9 now. And you can kind of feel like maybe the wind came out of the sails a little bit here for Albany.
And again, another point turnover there from Irving. She met up on King at the net.
Pass to the far side. Dolan hits it off the double block, and just when things started to be sapped out, Dolan makes a play. 10-point game, though, is the big thing right now. DePaul will be all right if they end up trading points here. But one thing to point out, Gabrielle Hansen has kept the serve for quite a while, and she's gotten it a couple of times. See what she can do here. And it doesn't fail sometimes, does it, Courtney? The broadcaster's curse.
It doesn't, actually.
21-10, the lead now for DePaul.
Oh, four more points, and they'd have had the set.
4 points away from taking this match. So Lexi Chanos, the libero, sends the serve over, up into the air to the near side. Dolan hits it using the finesse there to get that one. Didn't put everything on it, hit it off the top of the block, and got the point.
Finesse and experience, and using her height to good measure. And just putting that ball cross court because she realized that the space had opened up.
21-11, she sends the serve over to the back line. Set now to the far side as that one going down. You also have a substitution in for Colleen Smith, as it is Kelsey Horvath, as she is in here. So Horvath in for Colleen Smith, so she's getting a break here on that front line as Maxwell will send the serve over. And she's going to be the future, too, probably, as far as setters go, so why not get her time when you can? Missing the double block there was Anderson and Coffey as it got through. 22-12, 10-point lead still, though, for the Blue Demons.
And a good leap and a spike there from McCauley, winning her team the point. And now she goes to serve as Albany still making a fight of it.
Chanos bumping it out in front. And that one, the nice dump there by Kelsey Horvath as she's come into this game for Colleen Smith and haven't been much of a drop-off.
And we've spoken of the intelligence of this DePaul team, Chris. Very athletic, very skillful, but also they know just when to do what.
Right-handed serve sent over, comes back to the near side, over to the far side now. Linedecker hits it off the block. Back to Linedecker again. Goes over it this time, and that one just in on the near sideline. Lexi Janos was caught leaning.
And Linedecker there again, seeing the space open up on the left-hand side of the DePaul side of the court, and just going for the kill there, and it was a good one.
23-13, the lead for the Blue Demons. They're 2 points away from taking this one against Albany. Coffey's kill attempt dug out now to the near side there, touching it over was the player in Lamb, and DePaul could not get that one back across. 23-14 now.
And Albany will be happy with some of these points that they're winning, but they know it's really an uphill task to get back into this set.
Pass to the near side, and there's the kill from Reed. Maya Reed with another kill.
And if it was difficult before, it just got even harder, as now just 1 point stands between DePaul and the match.
Like you said, match point here, 24-14. The Great Danes trying to stay alive. They forced a fourth set. Can they force a fifth? They got to really come down here, sent across towards the far corner. As this one from the 10-foot line, Anderson, she got it on the far sideline. Give the match to DePaul, 25-14. So after two tough middle sets, DePaul takes it and runs away with it in the fourth set to win 3-1. But it was a very hard-fought match. Even though they won 3-1, it was closer than that.
It was way closer than that. By no means perfect, Chris, but I think DePaul, they did enough of what they needed to do, and they did display here this afternoon that they do have the skill sets, and maybe more so than this Great Dane team, and of such they won the match.
And now you have the setup for to find our champion for this DePaul Invitational. 2-0 DePaul will go against 2-0 UIC. So the two schools from the Chicagoland area fight each other for this DePaul Invitational Championship. In a little bit, we will be talking with head coach Nadia Edwards. But before that, Courtney, just some final thoughts here on this game between DePaul and Albany.
Well, you know, having watched the USF-UIC game before, Chris, and the way we saw the ebb and flow of that game, and then seeing this one, you did mention about the matchup later between UIC and DePaul, and we're realizing that, you know, that game itself could turn out to be a cracker. You spoke earlier of the break between this game here now for DePaul and that game later, but how about the break for UIC
right.
and the game? They have a much longer break.
A longer one, right?
We know how sports work. Sometimes you tend to go off the boil because, you know, you warm down a little bit too much. And that probably could play right into the hands of DePaul. Having come off this tough game right here,
right.
It might be just the antidote that they need for later.
And with the fact that the game that UIC had with USF went to 5 sets and pushed everything back a little bit, you now have them having played a full 5 sets, and it was a close one. Even in that 5th set, they ended up winning it, but still, it wasn't like it was a blowout win in the 5th set. So you had a hard-fought game, like you said, maybe too long of a break for them, and not too long. I mean, still a long break, but maybe not too long for DePaul. Of course, that only will be part of the fact that'll determine what happens here between these two. We will take a quick timeout, and then we will be back with head coach Nadia Edwards here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com and, of course, Bluetooth.
Out of all the schools I applied to, Illinois Media School was the first to personally guide me through the financial aid process. Not only did the school offer classes in my field, but hands-on experience with all of today's modern broadcasting equipment. Illinois Media School gave me all the tools I needed to find a career in broadcasting. While in class, I worked one-on-one with real professionals in the television and radio industry. Job placement helped me find the perfect internship where I had real, on-the-job training. No other school offers a program as exciting and educational as this. My name is Mandy, and Illinois Media School helped me achieve my career in broadcasting.
I could have said it better myself. This is Jonathan Hood, instructor at the Illinois Media School, formerly Illinois Center for Broadcasting. There's so many reasons for you to consider Illinois Media School. You can go if you don't like the college that you go to, you don't like the major, or maybe you just want a fresh start for someplace new. Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports to learn more. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
Hey, it's Frankie, and the Illinois Media School, formerly the Illinois Center for Broadcasting, provides hands-on broadcasting and online media training and fully equipped radio and TV studios and web-based computer labs. The instructional staff consists of broadcast media and professionals like myself with many years of broadcasting and online media experience. I have watched some of my former students get jobs and excel in the industry. Upon graduation, students are well-prepared to enter the broadcast media industry. Check out our campus in Chicago and in Lombard and visit beonair.com. That's beonair.com to learn how to get started.
SportstownChicago.com is your place for NIHL high school club hockey. Every goal, all of the checks, and every jarring hit. SportstownChicago.com, in a league of our own.
¿Quieres tener un trabajo en algo que te encante, que sea divertido y conozcas a muchas personas? El Illinois Media School tiene muchas cosas increíbles que ofrecer. No solo hacer segmentos de audio, al aire o usar equipo de cámara. Incluso puedes tener tu propio show de radio o televisión y ser exitoso. ¡Llama ahora! Este programa especial te da el camino rápido a entrenar en la industria y puedes tener tu propio show en solo semanas. Illinois Media School. Llama al 630-916-1700 o visita bnr.com/Lombard y empieza tu carrera en broadcasting.
Time to kick off your career in radio or TV broadcasting at the Illinois Media School's downtown Chicago campus. Call us at 312-884-8000 or visit 530 South State Street to learn how you can make your dreams of being on television and radio a reality. Don't take my word for it. Check out what some industry professionals said about the Illinois Media School.
Tom Waddle, ESPN 1000.
Don't waste another minute in a career you don't love. You can be the next great announcer, DJ, producer, or TV reporter. You'll learn key skills from industry pros while working with professional equipment on air and behind the scenes. Still need to keep the 9-to-5 job? Their flexible class schedules can work around any schedule. Short on cash? They have very affordable tuition and financial aid for those who qualify. You'll have access to amazing internships and job placement assistance when you graduate at top radio and TV stations like ESPN. Learn more at beonair.com/Chicago Sports. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
When your business is getting off the ground or beginning to flourish, go to the Jay-Z Law Offices. John Zappala guarantees aggressive, effective representation with a true desire to help you. From the formation of limited liability entities to employment agreements and general contracts, John Zappala is here to gear your company for success. Jay-Z Law Office's virtual office services allows you to work with them from the convenience of your desk. If aggressive, effective representation sounds good to you, then call the Jay-Z Law Office's at 312-854-8065 or visit their website at jayzlawoffices.com.
As a student athlete of the IHSA,
I pledge to respect my teammates.
I pledge to respect my coaches.
I pledge to respect the officials.
I pledge to respect the opponents.
I pledge to respect the fans.
I pledge to respect the game.
We pledge to do what's right.
My name is Chris Labosco, and I do play-by-play for minor league hockey. It was while I was at the Illinois Media School that I got my first opportunity to do actual play-by-play in my first week of class. Through my time in class, I was able to improve as a broadcaster by learning how to use different equipment, how to set up for a remote broadcast, and how to prepare for each and every game that I would call. I even found an internship doing play-by-play for minor league baseball before graduating. If I never went to the Illinois Media School, I never would have found my passion.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This is Jonathan Hood, instructor at the Illinois Media School, formerly Illinois Center for Broadcasting. So many reasons for you to consider Illinois Media School: financial aid for those who qualify, real-world hands-on experience, internships, and so much more. Don't just take my word for it. Set up a tour at one of the two Chicagoland locations. Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports to learn more. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
Hi, it's Frankie Robinson. The Illinois Media School, formerly the Illinois Center of Broadcasting, provides hands-on broadcasting and online media training in fully equipped radio and TV studios and web-based computer labs. The instructional staff consists of broadcast media and professionals like myself with many years of broadcast and online media experience. I've watched some of my former students get jobs and excel in the industry. Upon graduation, students are well-prepared to enter the broadcast media industry. Check out our campus in Chicago and Lombard and visit beonair.com. That's beonair.com to learn how to get started.
When you need a break from your busy schedule, kick back and listen to the fun sports and entertainment interviews from sportstownchicago.com. The big interview has is where you hear sportstownchicago.com personalities. Pick the brains of the biggest names in sports, music, movies, and TV. To catch up on all the fun, go to the audio sportstownchicago.com and click on the audio tab. Sportstownchicago.com. We are in a league of our own. Yep.
The Illinois Center for Broadcasting is now the Illinois Media School. We've been an institution in the Chicagoland area now for 30 years. Because the broadcasting world is always changing, so are we. Not only are we teaching radio and television production, but now you can learn all aspects of the media industry, like web design. You can even specialize in TV or film, sports broadcasting, and even sales. No matter where you are in the Chicagoland area, we have a campus near you. The Illinois Media School. Be on TV, be on radio, beonair.com.
Time to kick off your career in radio or TV broadcasting at the Illinois Media School's downtown Chicago campus. Call us at 312-884-8000 or visit 530 South State Street to learn how you can make your dreams of being on television and radio a reality. Don't take my word for it. Check out what some industry professionals said about the Illinois Media School.
Jonathan Hood, ESPN 1000.
People often ask me, Hoodie, how can I be a sports radio guy like you? I tell them it takes drive and determination, and you need to learn how it all works. You can learn to be a sports talk show host, a producer, do play-by-play, and shoot and edit video. You'll have a chance to get internships at stations where you can tap into the knowledge of industry pros. With job placement assistance, you can start your new career in 1 year. It's a great school to get the hands-on training you need for a broadcasting career, doing what you love. They have affordable tuition and financial aid for those who qualify. So don't waste another minute. Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
Attention, family, friends, players, coaches, and fans. Are you a high school or college athlete that had your game covered by SportsTownChicago.com? You can relive the glory by going to our podcast section of our website to listen to all the past games over the last 2 years. Just go to the website at SportsTownChicago.com and check out the podcast section, and it'll take you right to your sport. Now that's SportsTownChicago.com.
How's it going? My name is Edgar Ibarra, and I'm very grateful for all the knowledge I receive at the Illinois Media School. My 15-year career in radio has been a dream come true. I'm a radio DJ, I'm on the air, and I get to be a program director for two radio stations in Wisconsin. My dream became a reality with the Illinois Media School. Illinois Media School is a great school with great teachers and former students now working in the industry today on the radio stations you listen to and on the TV stations you watch every day. Illinois Media School, check it out. For more details, beonair.com.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This is Jonathan Hood, instructor at the Illinois Media School, formerly Illinois Center for Broadcasting. So many reasons for you to consider Illinois Media School: financial aid for those who qualify, real-world hands-on experience, internships, and so much more. Don't just take my word for it. Set up a tour at one of the two Chicagoland locations. Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports to learn more. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
Time to kick off your career in radio or TV broadcasting at the Illinois Media School's downtown Chicago campus. Call us at 312-884-8000 or visit 530 South State Street to learn how you can make your dreams of being on television and radio a reality. Don't take my word for it. Check out what some industry professionals said about the Illinois Media School.
Jonathan Hood, ESPN 1000.
Not many people can say that they love their career, but I certainly do. I like helping the next generation of broadcasters discover their passion. How do you discover yours? Learn how to be a sports talk show host, a producer, do play-by-play and shoot and edit video. Get hands-on training on air and behind the scenes. You'll have a chance to get internships at radio or TV stations where you can tap into the knowledge of industry pros. With job placement assistance, you can start your career in 1 year. They have affordable tuition and financial aid for those who qualify. So why waste another minute in a career that you don't love? Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports. Go to the website right now. beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
Guests on sportstownchicago.com are brought to you by the Illinois Center for Broadcasting. If you're interested in a career in broadcasting, go to beonair.com or call the Lombard campus at 630-916-1700. Yeah!
¿Quieres tener un trabajo en algo que te encante, es divertido y que conozcas muchas personas? Illinois Media School tiene muchas cosas increíbles que ofrecer. No solo hacer segmentos de audio al aire y usar equipos de cámara, e incluso puedes tener tu propio show de radio o televisión y ser exitoso. ¡Llama ahora! Este programa especial te da el camino rápido al entrenar en la industria y puedes tener tu propio show en solo semanas. Illinois Media School. Llama al 630-916-1700 o visite beonair.com/Lombard.
How's it going? My name is Edgar Ibarra, and I'm very grateful for all the knowledge I receive at the Illinois Media School. My 15-year career in radio has been a dream come true. I'm a radio DJ, I'm on the air, and I get to be a program director for two radio stations in Wisconsin. My dream became a reality with the Illinois Media School. Illinois Media School is a great school with great teachers and former students now working in the industry today on the radio stations you listen to and on the TV stations you watch every day. Illinois Media School, check it out. For more details, beonair.com.
I couldn't have said it better myself. This is Jonathan Hood, instructor at the Illinois Media School, formerly Illinois Center for Broadcasting. So many reasons for you to consider Illinois Media School: financial aid for those who qualify, real-world hands-on experience, internships, and so much more. Don't just take my word for it. Set up a tour at one of the two Chicagoland locations. Go to beonair.com/Chicago Sports to learn more. That's beonair.com/Chicago Sports.
SportstownChicago.com brings you the inside information and winning strategies from the top coaches in the state of Illinois for high school sports in their web video series, The Coach's Corner. Hear about how the coaches and players of the elite teams in the state practice in the offseason, stories that inspire them to achieve, pregame rituals, superstitions, and much more. Find out how the best of the best are the best with the Sportstown Chicago Coach's Corner, only on SportstownChicago.com. In a league of our own.
¿Quieres tener un trabajo en algo que te encante, es divertido y conozcas muchas personas? El Illinois Media School tiene muchas cosas increíbles que ofrecer. No solo hacer segmentos de audio al aire y usar equipos de cámara, incluso puedes tener tu propio show de radio o televisión y ser exitoso. Este programa especial te da el camino rápido a entrenar en la industria y puedes tener tu propio show en solo semanas. Illinois Media School. Llama al 630-916-1700 o visita beonair.com/Lombard y empieza tu carrera en broadcasting ya.
Hi, it's Frank. They call me King Cole, copy. They
call me King Cole, copy. Back here on Chicagoland Sports Radio and Bluetooth, Chris Lobosco and Courtney Wallace here, and we're being joined now by head coach Nadia Edwards. And coach, congrats on the win here against Albany. Four sets, you guys win 3-1. The two middle sets were a little bit tough, but the first and last one, you guys were in control.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Coach, were you at all surprised by this Albany team? Did they bring a little bit more to the match than you expected?
For us, no. I think, you know, every single team, especially in the preseason, is going to be very hungry, you know, and trying to protect their record or increase their wins in that category. We brought in some really respectable and competitive teams into this tournament. And so, you know, to overlook a team would be a mistake on anybody's part. I think Albany's a great team. They just, this last weekend, you know, had some good wins against some Big Ten opponents. And so, you know, we really want to make sure that we are playing consistent on our side. And making sure that we don't take anybody for granted or overlook anybody, and just make sure that we're playing as hard as we possibly can. And I think that's the most important thing for us right now.
Yeah, and on their side, it was a little bit of youth. And for you guys, I mean, those middle two sets, it really just seemed it was your guys' mistakes that were maybe kind of hindering you a little bit. What was the message after those two sets or through those two sets to kind of make sure that you guys weren't making those smaller mistakes that could lead to other things?
Oh, I think it was just more of like, you know, focusing on our side and cleaning up our side. I think that we work so hard in practice. We go through, you know, all of the drills that can prepare them on the weekends for those same things, for, you know, the off-ball movements, for, you know, the crazy plays that, you know, beat you in transition. So I think we just needed to be, you know, more eyes wide open to the task at hand and play a little bit more, you know, control on our side. And you know, I think when we spoke about it, I think that they responded pretty well, and that was closer to the fourth set.
All right, Coach, just to take you back to last night, you came into the tournament, your home tournament here, with a bit of a momentum coming from last weekend, and then you beat a USF team. You know, what was the game plan going into USF that they came into this tournament unbeaten?
You know, I think we had two out of three teams that came in with an undefeated record. USF was one of them. UIC still remains the other one. And so we knew this was going to be one for a great tournament, first of all, where a lot of teams are just going to battle in here. We're at home. You know, our biggest focus was, again, to really defend our house, protect our side of the court, and focus on our play. So.
And, of course, going for the sweep tonight against that UIC team who stayed undefeated in their game earlier against USF. When you look forward to that one, both teams obviously have already played games and fairly longer games. What is it that's the game plan when you have already played one game in the day? What changes, or is there any change?
Yeah, I think both teams are hungry for the, you know, the tournament title, and, you know, for them to protect their record and for us to defend our house. And, you know, it's a crosstown rival that, you know, we all get up for. And so the energy is going to be high. The momentum is going to be high on both sides. But I think that we really need to control the controllables and make sure that we focus on our side. And, you know, for us, it comes down to ball control and basically serve and pass. We win the serve and pass game. It just creates for everything else. So just for our team to be able to focus on our side and have that identity and stay consistent and true to our game, I think is going to be where we are going to thrive.
All right, long break between now, the end of this year last game, and the big one coming up later. How now do you keep your team warmed down but not mentally or psychologically out of it and be prepared for a tough matchup later?
Well, now that we are done with Albany, we usually do, you know, match by match. So the most important thing right now is our match against UIC. So we have a little bit of downtime. We have the opportunity to be off our feet and rest and relax. But, you know, from an individual to a team aspect and perspective, everything that we're doing from this point on to 7 o'clock is in preparation for our match tonight.
And we're excited for that one. And, of course, we'll be on live for that one and hopefully talking to you about a winning of the Invitational Tournament. And, Coach, thank you so much for taking time
to
talk with us.
Thank you.
Thank you, and all the best for later, Coach.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And we will actually wrap things up here, and we will see you next time. We'll see you tonight at 7 o'clock. Well, around 7 o'clock, as games have gone a little bit long. Here on ChicagolandSportsRadio.com.